Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of What the Cluck, a podcast that is devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. You guys know who I am, but I'm going to say my name anyways. My name is Matt Van Eidert. I am the founder of the blog Frugal Chicken, and What the Cluck is a podcast all about backyard chickens where we celebrate the chicken life. The chicken life found me, right? That is what we say here on this podcast. But anyways, if you are joining me on the Facebook page, thank you for joining me on the Facebook page. We do live stream on Facebook as well as be live on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, please also head over to the Facebook page for the chance to chat with other chicken owners and chat with me directly. And also to sound off about all of the fun things that we're going to talk about in today's episode. So as a reminder, we are doing our contest again today. When we get to five shares, guys, we'll go ahead and give away a copy of my book, Chicken Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock, but we have to get to five shares before I could do it. So in order to be part of that contest, you need to like and share this podcast. And sharing is caring, especially when it comes to Bumblefoot and scaly leg mites, because it is something that every chicken owner is going to have to deal with and at some point. And there's a lot of really interesting conflicting advice out there, which we will get all into, but they can get the real deal here because we do things like read the veterinary manual instead of reading the internet. Right? So before we get started, this podcast is sponsored by our good friends at Manna Poultry. They have the best chicken feeds on the market. We are currently feeding the organic non-GMO starter crumbles to our meat chickens. They're just little itty bitty chicks. So that is the feed that we depend on our farm. And they have feed for every walk of your chicken's life from the time that they're itty bitty chicks with the starter crumbles. They have non-GMO and they also have regular starter crumbles for whatever you choose to feed. They also have grower crumbles and layer pellets, and their layer pellets are awesome, y'all. Okay. So let me just take a drink of my soda here. I don't have my Ninja Zing yet. We're waiting for them to come in the mail. Excuse me. I doubled my order this time, you guys, because I ran out of them and I can't handle not being without my Ninja Zings. So let's get into our podcast, which is all about, Bumblefoot and scaly leg mites. I didn't think either of them was enough to fill a whole episode, and they're not interrelated, but they're both like common foot and leg issues. So they kind of fit together naturally, like peanut butter and jelly, right? Christina says she's so excited she found me. Thank you, Christina. I'm excited I found you. We're like two little chicken soulmates, aren't we? Julie says, what is with this year? I've had bumble issues. Bumble crazy always the left foot first. The underlying infection is still there, but it's not actually being resolved as infectious, but like actually the bacteria is not being knocked out. So also it's been a weird year. I don't know where you live, Julie, but here it's been kind of wet and it's been really hot and humid, right? So we're having all sorts of wonky weather patterns going on, as we know, with Harvey and with Irma. So it's possible that there's more of the bacteria in the environment this year, you know, that sort of thing. It might be an environmental issue. It's also causing your chickens to be infected more than they would normally, right? I don't know if El Nino year or not. Somebody can tell me. It might be also like when it's an El Nino year, all sorts of weird things happen in the world anyway, right? We all know that. So let's get on to talking about Bumblefoot. You guys, what I'm going to do is open up my page of the Merck Veterinary Manual. It is all online. You can actually download, you can't download, but you can access the Merck Veterinary Manual for free on the internet. Go to MerckVetManual.com. And I don't really know why more blogger people don't refer to this manual. It is like, I'm like getting ahead of myself. I don't know why most chicken bloggers don't refer to this manual, because it is the collected knowledge that has been tested and tried and all that sort of stuff when it comes to treating chickens in a traditional way. That being said, it is more about pet birds, such as like parakeets, parrots, whatever. And it also is more related to large industry for chickens, right? So when it comes to the backyard chickens, there are information gaps in there, especially when it comes to natural chicken keeping, there are information gaps. But for a place to start for understanding what these diseases are and why they occur and what the cause of it is, it's a really, really good place to start. And I don't see a lot of chicken bloggers actually like looking at this book to understand like what's going on with the chickens. So I really want to encourage you guys to, if you run into a situation with some disease and you're not really sure what's going on, look first in the Merck Veterinary Manual and see if that you can find the potential cause there, see what it says. So bumblefoot is, hold on one second, guys. I got to kind of move you a little bit because I need to read this. Why is it talking about, hold on. I got to move this up a little bit because what it's doing is it's, okay, pododermatitis. Okay, so somehow it all scrolled down on me. Okay, so what, I'm going to put you guys right here. Okay, what bumblefoot is, it's an infection of the foot, the skin on the bottoms of their feet that basically causes redness, irritation, swelling. The feet, the best thing to do if you're not sure what it looks like is to do a Google search, to get photos. I don't yet have an article about bumblefoot on the blog. We're probably going to do one next week on it. But basically it can look anywhere from like slight redness to a bulbous sort of growth on the bottom of the chicken's foot. So it doesn't look like hideous, but obviously, dogs can get pododermatitis, humans can get something similar. So you can imagine how uncomfortable it is to walk with this thing, right? I mean, try walking with a big lump on your foot. It's painful. So what you might see is like your chicken limping. You might see them hopping around on one foot. And we've had bumblefoot several times on this farm. And it actually isn't that difficult to resolve. If it gets like really bad, you might need to, use something like antibiotics. But if it's sort of just like a benign infection where it's not that bad, it's not hard to resolve. Let's go with that. It's not hard to resolve. So what it actually is called in like clinical terms is pododermatitis, which basically just means skin infection of the foot. Poto is foot, dermatitis is skin infection. Dermatitis is skin, right? So that's pretty much what bumblefoot actually is. It is an infection, like a pimple, right? I mean, it's not exactly like a pimple, but it's the same level of like, is it going to kill you or not, right? So there's a lot of information on the web that acts like bumblefoot is this huge, serious life or death situation. Don't get me wrong, it can turn into a life or death situation, but we have not experienced that on our farm. We have been able to resolve bumblefoot, and it comes and it goes. So as any sort of bacterial infection, if it's not 100% knocked out, it can come and it can go. And that's why I think Julie is running into maybe some issues where it keeps happening, because it's not getting fully knocked out. That being said, your chickens don't wear shoes and they don't wear socks, right? There's a reason why good hygiene for human beings, and even like we're starting to get more towards like dogs and cats, is to put shoes on them. And the reason why is because even once you resolve the bacterial infection, the same thing can happen again because they're walking around outside without shoes on, right? So, I mean, we've all had those childhood diseases where we get either like a splinter under our foot, or and then the skin around it swells up, or we get like worms, right? So how many of us had, worms as kids because you were running around outside, right? So even if you resolve it, it can happen again, but it's not one of these like, oh my God, life and death situations. Like we got to little Fluffy's going to die. It's not going to happen. Okay. Well, I can't say it's not going to happen, but you'll just see a lot of advice out there where it acts like if you don't do very dramatic things to fix it, your chicken's going to die. And that's not been our experience. Okay. So what the Merck Veterinary Manual actually says about bumblefoot, is it's an inflammatory or degenerative condition of the avian foot, which is basically just a fancy way of saying that it's an infection. All right. So, like I said, the foot might look red. It might look swollen. The swelling could be of varying size. We've had it be like a huge bulbous thing, and then we've had it just be like a tiny little red area, right? What you might notice, though, is like the classic way of knowing that your chicken has bumblefoot, aside from actually like looking at their feet every day, is if they start to limp. So if you see your bird limping and you're kind of like, is it hurt? Is it not hurt? Look at the foot, look at the bottom of the foot and see if you see maybe something that looks like bumblefoot. Okay. So in this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about natural options and then we're going to talk about pharmaceutical options. Okay. So the pharmaceutical options, we're going to depend on the Merck Veterinary Manual. And okay, so Julie says, so do the older hens get it easier than the younger ones? Our ladies are now about 3 years old, or is age not a factor at all? So it, like any disease out there, it can affect any chicken at any time, but if they are in a state with a potential depressed immune system, and what I mean by that is if they're very young or very old, anything that, any sort of condition that could potentially make their immune system not as strong as it would be otherwise, they run a higher risk, just statistically speaking. But I've not experienced, like all things being equal, I've not experienced it more in any sort of age population, just because of the age, right? So what you might see online is the advice that if your chicken has bumblefoot, you should do surgery, okay? This is local surgery in your own home. I don't follow this advice. I don't tell my readers this advice. I don't think it's good advice. There are times when it is absolutely merited. If it's a very bad infection, it has to be cut out. Otherwise, it could go systemic and go, you know, become like sepsis all over the bird. Then it is merited. But my caveat with that is, one, I don't think you should do it in your own home. If you're experienced with it and you have, feel like you have the ability to do it, I'm not going to come to your house and tell you not to do it. But if you're inexperienced with it, you've never done it before, you're nervous about it, it is very acceptable to go to the vet, tell the vet what you think the problem is, ask them if they can excise the infection, and then have the vet help you treat it afterwards, like get veterinary advice to treat it afterwards. Don't attempt it at home. I don't do it in my home. I don't treat bumblefoot by surgery. And I think it's irresponsible to tell people to do it as like the first course of treatment, right? So even if you don't have a avian vet, even if you don't have a vet experienced in chickens, they're still more experienced in doing local surgeries than either you or I are, right? So it's very acceptable to go to the vet and say, look, here's the issue. This is what I think needs to happen. Can you help me and get their advice, okay? And they'll also give you advice for treatment afterwards. One of the reasons I think it's irresponsible to try and do it at home is that we don't have access in most likely cases of local anesthetics. So basically you're doing surgery Civil War style, where you're doing it without any sort of anesthetic, and I don't think that that's right personally. Okay. So that's just my opinion. You can do what you want to do, but we don't do that at my farm, and I don't think it's responsible to try and do it yourself. The other thing I want to point out with this treatment is that if you read the Merck Veterinary Manual, their first line of treatment, if they have a bird or whatever with bumblefoot, their first course of treatment is actually not surgery. So it's not something that is even recommended as a first line of defense by the sort of College of Veterinary Thought in the United States. So what they recommend is, giving them antibiotics. And again, if you don't want to use antibiotics, that's fine. Some people do want to use it, so we're going to cover it in this podcast, okay? So the first thing that they say is that a bandage may be necessary to relieve pressure on the lesion. The lesion should be kept clean. Strict sanitation is important. So the first thing that they're saying is if it's sort of like a minor thing, bandage it up, see if it gets better, okay? You might want to use something like a topical triple antibiotic if you want to go that direction, or you can use a natural solution like, we'll get into natural solutions in a minute, but the first thing that they say is see if you can bandage it, and this is, of course, if it's not a in-depth sort of infection, right? So the next thing that they say is to use antibiotics. So Streptococcus is most commonly, okay, so it's usually Streptococcus bacteria, and that's just a fancy name for a type of bacteria, including E. coli. Da, 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 da. So effective antibiotics are amoxicillin. And then, so basically pain management is important. Okay, so basically what they're saying, sorry guys, I had to read that real quick. Basically what they're saying is if you, their first recommended treatment, according to the Merck Veterinary Manual, is antibiotics and sort of pain treatment like a non-antisteroidal NSAID, right? Non-steroidal anti-inflammation drug. That's what NSAID stands for. I had to think for a minute, okay? So some sort of anti-inflammatory drug. The best bet is to talk to your vet. If you want to give them antibiotics, the vets can very easily look up the quantities. They can very easily also look up what NSAIDs you can give your chicken, okay? So nowhere does it say run out, grab a scalpel, put some gloves on, and do surgery on your chicken, okay? And that's actually been kind of, if it's been a very bad case, it's actually been what we have done. We've gone off and we've given them antibiotics because it's an infection. Okay, guys. So this is where it kind of gets really interesting when you talk to chicken bloggers about these different things, because they say, let me move you guys back here. They'll say things like, they'll make it seem like it's a bigger deal than it is. It's an infection. What do you do with infections? You treat it as an infection. So if you go with a natural solution, you treat it with natural products. And if you go with the pharmaceutical solution, you can treat it with antibiotics, right? And we've had a lot of success with that. Now, your natural solutions, I wrote them down, include oils, like essential oils. We're not going to get too in-depth into what oils. If you want to know more about that, you can go ahead and message me. I can give you more information about that. And honey is another option, of course, with honey. Honey is a great antibiotic or antibacterial. I can't say it's an antibiotic because it's not, but it's antibacterial. For whatever reason, bacteria can't really grow in honey, so it's preserved ad infinitum, basically. In that case, you're going to want to wrap it up, obviously. Otherwise, it's going to get grody with dirt, bugs, ants will get on it. We've had that issue happen before. So just make sure you bandage it up well. excuse me. If you can continue to let them forage outside. We have done that, and it's been fine. If you're concerned at all, though, you can bring them inside, put them in a crate with a heat lamp if you feel like they need it. Maybe they don't need it. It just kind of really depends on the situation. But in most cases, you can just kind of let them continue to wander around because it's usually a very sort of minor, it's not something that's going to like dramatically decrease their ability to like be a regular chicken, right? something else that works well, and this is something that they use with parrots, and I've had readers try this product before, is green French clay. Okay, so look up. Well, we'll have resources for you on the blog for about that. But green French clay is something that they use with like parrots and other birds, like parakeets, when they get bumblefoot. Because it's not just chickens that get bumblefoot, right? We've talked about dogs and cats also getting something similar, but parrots, other domestic birds, pet birds, can also get the same thing. So there are actually products out there that are specifically for bumblefoot that are made with green French clay. And that's a natural solution that has been used fairly widely. It's not something that we've recognized in the chicken community, and maybe we do, but we'll do more research on that and let you guys know. But that is something else that is available. Now, in order to help, I like to bring this product on the market. I like to bring this product on my podcast and my live streams a lot because I really like this product. It's this animal scent ointment. Basically, it's an all-natural ointment that you can use that promotes healthy skin. So if you want to go with natural solutions, if you're not really sure, like what should you do or not do, after you've made the decisions about how you're going to actually treat it, you can put this on there to help promote healthy skin, okay? So this is in the shop on the Facebook page if you want to grab one of these. But we've used this for a lot of different, situations. Let's go with situations on the farm for varying species, and we have used this on the chickens. You may have seen my live streams where we've used it to support healthy skin as they grow their feathers back. So this is this animal scent stuff is one of the things that I depend on. It is the official animal scent ointment of the What the Cluck podcast, but sorry guys. But that is the that's sort of like the natural way to sort of excuse me, to go about helping Bumblefoot, okay? So just to recap really quick, what it is it's a skin infection on their feet, okay? Treat it like an infection. So whether you want to go pharmaceutical or natural, that's totally your option. If you feel like you need to do surgery, then I would talk to a vet about it. Honestly, that's my 5-second recap of Bumblefoot. Okay, it is not as big of a deal as people make it out to be, and chickens live to tell the tale from it all the time. So if your chickens end up with it, I would not be surprised if they also live to tell the tale. Let's go with that. Okay, so let's move on to scaly leg mites. What the hell is scaly leg mites, you say? No problem. We got answers for you. Basically what it is, and let me switch my screens here, because again, we're going to rely on the official veterinary manual of the What the Cluck podcast, which is the Merck Veterinary Manual. All right, guys. So let's slide you all over and look at scaly leg mites, okay? So what the Merck Veterinary Manual says about scaly leg mites, and this is not like super science here, okay? This is fairly simple. Basically what it is it's mites that get under the scales of the skin on chicken legs, and then they breed, they proliferate, they multiply, and then they start pushing the scales off of the chicken's legs. And it's not fun, it's painful, it is actually potentially deadly. We have dealt with that before. And something you definitely, absolutely, unequivocally want to treat, okay? Don't let this one sort of go under the radar. You don't want to let any chicken disease go under the radar, but this one is fairly simple to resolve. You're going to have to keep on it. Hi, Todd. You're going to have to keep on it, but it's not hard to deal with. Let's go with that, okay? So what the Merck Veterinary Manual says about this is it says it's a small spherical sarcoptic mite that usually tunnels into the tissue under the scales of the legs. Okay. Now, this also says that it's rare in modern poultry facilities, but we're talking about backyard chickens, and so it's actually fairly common in backyard chickens. And again, because backyard chickens are outside, walking around in dirt, they're going to pick up stuff, right? And also probably the reason why it's fairly rare in poultry facilities, guys, is because the chickens aren't living very long, right? So there's not a wide variety or wide spectrum of chickens that live longer to actually get this disease, right? So basically the way that you're going to know if your chickens have this or not is if you look at their legs, and instead of it looking smooth and sleek, it looks lumpy, right? So you see bulges, you see the scales coming off. That's basically the way you're going to know if they got it or not. And if that's a fairly classic symptom. So, you know, what we like to, I say we like, I'm actually like a medical professional, but what medical professionals learn in, like doctors, vets, what they learn in school is if you see, you probably have heard this, if you see a horse in Central, or if you hear horse, let's try this one more time. If you hear a horse in Central Park, don't assume it's a zebra, assume it's a horse, right? So basically what that means is Occam's razor, all things being equal, the simplest explanation is the most likely one. So if you come across your chicken and it's got lumps on its legs, the scales are coming off, in all likelihood, it's scaly leg mites. It might be some mysterious disease. It might be aliens choosing your chicken to land and lay their eggs. But in all likelihood, it's probably scaly leg mites. So that's sort of like the classic symptom. So, you know, feel fairly safe in your assumption that it's scaly leg mites, right, guys? So how do they get it? I wrote my notes here. How do they get it? They get it when they get mites, and the mites use their legs to breathe and to live on, basically, right? What they do, like I said, is they go under the scales, they lay eggs, they habitate, they suck blood, they do whatever the hell they do. But that's why they get it. They get it from their environment. Can you avoid it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can, because we've had a lot of chickens We've had fairly irregular cases of cellulite lights show up. So yeah, you can't avoid it, but at some point you're probably going to have to deal with it simply because chickens live in the world where there's mites, right? So some good practices to avoid it are to clean your coop regularly. We like to clean our coops with essential oils. We like the Thieves oil from Young Living because it's super powerful and it's super easy to clean with. They have the, what they have is these, we'll put this in the store so you guys can get it. But what they have is a kit that's got like all their cleaning supplies in it. So it's got like this, like an all purpose cleaner. What's the word I'm looking for? They got an all purpose cleaner. It's, you can dilute it. They got spray bottles. They got, so there's a lot of different options in there to make cleaning your coop super, super easy with these products. We like that because we feel fairly confident that it gets the coop super clean. So cleaning your coop well will help prevent your chickens getting mites all over them, including scaly leg mites. We've already talked about what it looks like. So let's talk about, let me look real quick and see what they say about pharmaceutical treatments. I actually did not look that up. Okay, what they recommend actually is killing the birds. This is not good. What it says is, so how do they get it also though? They get it by contact. So one chicken gets it, the mites jump from chicken A to chicken B. Suddenly chicken A and B and C and D and E and F and all down the alphabet all have scaly leg mites. So we have not seen it get that bad where everybody suddenly got it, but it is possible. So yeah, so what they say is affected birds should be cold, isolated, houses cleaned and sprayed frequently as recommended for the chicken mite. It's just a different section of the book. Okay, individual birds should be treated with oral or topical ivermectin or moxidectin. I've not heard that one because I've never used it. Okay, so you can basically, what this says is you can use something like a topical ivermectin. Ivermectin is something to control worms. And it's actually fairly powerful, but again, it's not a natural solution. So just remember that it's not a natural solution. So that's what the Merck Veterinary Manual recommends as the traditional pharmaceutical course of treatment. Okay. Let's talk about natural solutions because I've had a lot of experience treating this naturally and I think it works well. My favorite way to treat my personal chickens for scaly leg mites, it says I got 15. Hold on, let me hook this up, guys. Today has been an interesting day with dealing with electrical products. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're almost done anyways, but diatomaceous earth, I think, is very effective for scaly leg mites. We've had a lot of success with that. What it does is it, basically, it's made up of like char. So it's crushed fossils, right? And what it does, sorry, guys, I'm trying to hold this without like, no. What it does is it rests on the chicken's skin, and as the mites crawl over the diatomaceous earth, it shreds their exoskeleton, so it kills them. You can't just do it once. I got to do it like fairly frequently, like two or three times a week until it's actually all resolved. You will see a lot of very interesting information about there about diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth is the official scaly leg mite treatment of the What the Clock podcast. So the reason people say diatomaceous earth is terrible for chickens is because when inhaled, it can be caustic, okay? So when inhaled, it can actually cause upper respiratory symptoms, upper respiratory infection in humans, chickens, cats, dogs, any sort of organism. This comes down to weighing the risk versus weighing the benefit, okay? So the risk is that your chickens might get a respiratory infection. The benefit is that they have scaly leg mites. So it comes down to like at the moment that we decide whether or not to use it or not, we say, well, what's the chances that they're going to get an upper respiratory infection versus the chances of them, you know, having leg mites that are going to actually kill them, right? So you have to make that decision yourself. I can't tell you what to do and what not to do. So Todd says I'm mostly made from silica. Yeah, we know that. we try to keep things fairly simple on this podcast because if I get all nerdy on people, it's not going to be fun, right? but anyways, guys, so I can't tell you whether you should use diatomaceous earth or not, but the advice out there that it might cause an upper respiratory infection is true advice. But what we do is we just try to make sure that we do it outside where the chickens aren't in the coop, where it's fairly breezy so that most of it blows away. Not most of it, but like the stuff that's loose will blow away. And then we don't have to worry about whether we're inhaling it or the chickens are inhaling it. Okay. So that is sort of the traditional natural treatment for scaly leg mites when it comes to scaly leg mites. Sorry, guys. Honey is another solution. The problem with honey, so what honey does and like what like Vaseline does, so you'll see advice about that. What that does is it suffocates the mites, okay? Honey, you're going to have a big sticky mess on you, okay? So honey would work, but you're going to have to bandage up the legs. So I probably would not personally use honey in this situation unless it was like really, truly sort of inflamed. And what you'll find is if you don't treat it, the chickens will start to actually lose their scales, right? So if you catch it early, or catching it earlier is better than catching it later. What you'll find is that they'll actually start to lose their scales, and the scales will like peel off, and it's nasty. So, okay, Vaseline would work again, though. You're gonna have a big mess. I was trying to think about petrolatum, whether I would personally use that on a chicken, but I would go for diatomaceous earth over petrolatum. Amanda asks if I add DE to the dusting bath area. I do personally. It's a choice that every chicken owner has to make for themselves. I do add it because I think it has health benefits to get external parasites. And you can also use essential oils. Again, we're not going to delve too deep into that in here. If you want to know how we use essential oils to support healthy skin when your chicken has scaly leg mites, I have to say it like that because that's the law. You can go ahead and message me. Messaging me is the best option for that. So, guys, that is the deal with scaly leg mites, okay? So that's that's all she wrote about it. Oh, I should probably mention this. Okay. I have seen advice out there to treat scaly leg mites with gasoline. Okay, dip the chicken's feet in gasoline. I think that is no sound and a black screen. That's not good. Hold on. Let me check this real quick, guys. If you can't hear me, that's not good. I want y'all to hear me. Hold on. Sorry, guys. I'm just checking to make sure that you guys can actually like see and hear me. This phone, I think, is breaking. So, my phone actually, it's my I'm there. I see myself. So yeah, Jessica, I think you are the only one. Anyways, guys. Amanda says she loves essential oils and she uses them often. We use them a lot too on our farm. We use them for all sorts of different things. What was it? Okay, so you'll see this advice that says to dip your chicken's feet in gasoline. I saw this advice and I was like, have I missed something? Like, is there something I need to know about, right? I spoke to several vets about this particular piece of advice, and they did not agree. They had the same opinion that I did. Don't do it. Okay? Like, given all the other options out there, it does not seem like this is the safest, most responsible advice. I actually said that advice. I'm not going to say where I saw it. I'm not going to say the circumstance that I saw it in, but I think it's actually irresponsible that advice was put out there. Gasoline, kerosene, it might work. Okay. In fact, it probably will work, but again, risk versus benefit. Okay. The risk is that, you know, your chicken's going to inhale a bunch of wonky fumes. And if it makes us high, what the hell is it going to do to a chicken? Right. And there are other options out there. So I'm not sure why that advice is floating out there. I'm sure people have tried it, but, the vets I spoke to who are clinical licensed vets in several states, all kind of said that was not, and they're all chicken owners, okay? So I cherry picked a bunch of vets and said, you know, y'all own chickens, what do y'all think of this advice? And they were like, we don't think that's good advice. So I'm going to go on the record and say that I, you know, given the other options out there where you can use diatomaceous earth, which is shown to be effective, it has been shown to be effective in studies. Y'all, okay, so I probably should mention this too. There are a lot of studies done on the uses of diatomaceous earth to control external parasites, okay? And specifically on chickens to control chicken mites. So given the fact that we have a lot of scientific studies that show that DE is actually going to be effective for mites, that is the one that I feel comfortable doing on my farm. That's the deal, guys, okay? That's our podcast for today, guys. I'm going to pull this out because this is having to hold it, and I don't like having to hold it because then I'm all, like, shaky, and you guys see my, like, shaking me out, and that's not cool. All right, guys, so that's our podcast for today. I don't know if we've gotten to 5 shares yet because I have to end the podcast before I can actually look and see if we have or not. But for those who have shared so far, thank you very much. And we will be, if we get to the 5 shares, we will be announcing the winner of the book, and we're also going to have other prizes going on later next week, right? We'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. I don't know what it's going to be about. Don't ask me. But it's going to be good, and it's going to be fun, and we'll love it. All right, guys. So that is today's episode of What the Cluck. I hope you have enjoyed it and you have found it beneficial and informative. Okay, hold on. If you guys have any questions about any of this, if you want to share advice, if you want to sound off, if you think I'm an idiot, leave comments below, and we will be continuing engaging in the conversation after the podcast is over. All right, guys, thank you for watching. Y'all, I'm telling you. This computer is like needs to just be gone. Hold on. I don't want to invite anybody. I want to end my episode. I'm telling you guys.